Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so great to see everybody here this morning and to see as the numbers arise. We're so thankful for the technologies that we have and all the things that we can do through our live streaming service. There we go. So we are definitely thankful for those of you who are still tuning in. And who are at home or away or possibly on vacation. We are thankful that we can provide that. And I just want to give a little bit of a shout out to those who are watching. So even though our numbers are still increasing here, we have high numbers at home as well still. So we have 179 viewers right now that are logged in on different devices from home. So we're thankful for them. And I'll just name a few of the states. Of course, we have Oklahoma. We have Texas, Arkansas, North Carolina, Iowa, California, Missouri, and Alabama. And speaking of Alabama, if you didn't notice, I'm not Elliot, and he is on vacation. I know, we're close resemblance, but something just gives it away. Hey, Elliot, how's it going? But they are on vacation, and so we hope that they have a good time and enjoy that, and we're thankful that we're able to tune in, and we have over 100 here with us at the building. So we've been in the 70s, but we are now over 100. And so it is very encouraging for us that we know that regardless whether you're here at the building or whether you are tuning in through the live streaming service, we are gathered together for worship. So this morning, I wanted to talk about what we might be hiding. What are you hiding? I want to start by telling a story about when I was around 7 to 10 years old. When I was younger, I don't know why, maybe I'm weird, maybe nobody did this. Even if you didn't, just nod your head like I'm not that weird. But anyways, I was 7 to 10 or so, and sometimes we'd go stay with my grandparents. They had a ride lawnmower over an acre of land, and so my dad or my grandpa, when they went out to mow, I would wait until they got started, and I would sneak out the back, or I'd sneak out the side door, and I would try to follow them around without them knowing that I was there. So I would be jumping to a tree over here and hiding behind a shed, hiding wherever, and follow them. And my goal was to follow them the whole time they mowed and that they would never see me. Yes, that, okay, nobody's nodding their head, so that maybe I'm just weird. But anyway, so I just did that. Now, if you had asked me at the time, classify, you know, your skills in the art of stealth, I would have said that I was like a ninja, that they never saw me, that they still to this day don't know that I was there. But that's how I thought it would have gone until I was about 18 or 20 or so, and the conversation, for whatever reason, we were together, and the conversation came up about them mowing, and they started bringing up story about, oh yeah, that, you know, you used to follow us around. And I was just shocked. I thought I had them the whole time. They said, yeah, you used to follow us around every time. We just didn't have the heart to tell you that we could see you every time. So for a while, I thought I was a ninja. I've since changed my occupational desires. But anyways, so sometimes we're like that in our emotions, in our struggles, in the things that we go through. We are hiding things from either others around us, our fellow Christians, our family, or even we attempt to hide them from God like he can't see them. And so after hearing that my grandparents and my dad knew what was going on and they saw me every time, I imagine this is, might be a few of these pictures. Now, they're not me, but this might have been what they saw. Now, this is not me, but that's a pretty good spot. We've got another one here. The face is covered. This guy is in the shadows, invisible. This one here is a personal favorite. That one right there, they'll never see him coming. And then last but not least, you got to give him credit. He was covered up, but the box was transparent. I want to talk about first how we might be working for God while running from him. So again, like those pictures, we think that we can hide from God the things that we're struggling with, the things that we have problems with. But sometimes it comes in the form of being busy for God. Sometimes it can come in the form of, we think, if I can just get busy enough, if I can just, I help with VBS, I help with this, I'm always at the building, the doors are open, I'm there. So those few things that I have problems with, you know, maybe God will just understand, because I'm doing a lot for God. Like, we have some type of way to justify the things that we do. We think that those things are unseen, and we think those around us don't know what's going on. But sometimes we might actually see somebody and at their low spot, and we may build them up. But chances are, if you're like me and like I've been in the past, you may be coming and trying to put on a face. In Proverbs 28:13, it says, "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." So God's mercy is available for us, but this is not a type of balance game here where as long as the things that we do for God and our work for God outweigh those things that we just can't seem to quit doing or put off from our old self or old life, or the things that we have trouble with, that we struggle with, as long as we keep them balanced to where we have more working for God, that doesn't count, and that's simply not the case. And sometimes it's done, people come in and you might recognize somebody's behavior. They've got really good behavior, and maybe they're doing that just for the recognition. They get enough recognition from the people around them, then they don't really worry about what God may have to say about their life. One of the things that we may do also is we fill our schedule up so full of godly things, we keep from having to look at the things that maybe God wants us to change. In 1 John chapter 1, 7 through 8, starting in verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So sometimes this can be obvious. You know, we think this is, we want to put out there, well, it's just you're talking about the murderers and the adulterers and the drunkards, or these things that are very easy to stay away from. But we know that is not the case as well. Sometimes, as far as that balance goes, I think of a story when I used to work at Charlie's Chicken. And I'm reminded of how people would come in and they would order a big 7-chunk dinner. Get a roll or an extra roll or two, maybe three, whatever, just all they can get. Get a dessert, they'd get fried potato wedges, get fried cream corn, which is sweet corn, and a, you know, crispy shell. And they'd finish it off with a Diet Pepsi, like that's going to cancel that whole thing out. So we will look at that sometimes in our life with God. Well, I go to church. I serve on the table. I help with VBS. I am a sponsor at youth events. Fill in the blank. I do these things, and that cancels out some of these other things that I'm still not quite ready to let go of. And that's something that can be very difficult for us. Finishing verses 9 through 10 in 1 John, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." At the end in verse 10, it says, "If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and the word is not in us." So if we're not willing to accept those things and we start to justify those bad habits that we like to call them, because we don't want to say that it's still a sin that we have an issue with, we call them, well, it's just a bad habit. Yeah, I need to quit that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the one to call God a liar. In 1 Corinthians, in the 6th chapter, in verse 9, we find out that it's not. Now, among these, there are some what we might call, as we try and label sins, some pretty heinous ones, but mixed in here are some that maybe some of us have or might still have trouble with in the future. Starting in verse 9, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, or idolaters, or adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Sometimes we will actually use Scripture to justify the way that we act. And I don't know if that works that way with you, but for me, I know in the past there was a time when I would look at Paul's description of two natures in conflict with each other in Romans chapter 7. He talks about, in verse 15, he says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate." And then jumping down into verse 19, "For the good that I want to do, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want." And then 24 ends with, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" And so I would look at that and read and say, well, because I hold Paul, or we hold individuals in the Bible to such a higher standard, I think, well, if they're dealing with these things, and I'm dealing with this, so it's just nature. It's just my nature. It's just something that, you know, we all have a problem with, so I don't really have to focus on that. God knows what kind of a sinful nature that we may have, our inclinations. So we try and use that as a cop-out or an excuse. You know, it's just one step short of saying, well, the devil made me do it. And we know that it is on us. We bear that weight whenever we sin and we are not right with God. So sometimes it comes in the form of hiding from God while we're working from Him, and sometimes we may just be hiding our emotions or ignoring them. It almost seems like it's a common thought that if we claim to be a Christian, we claim to be a follower of God, a child of God, that all of a sudden we're immune to emotional struggles, that we have to look like to everyone else that we have it all together all the time. But we know that there's only one place that we're going to experience if we are true followers of God and children of Christ, and that's in heaven. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, it says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." So we know that we're still going to encounter these emotions, and there's this idea out there that all of a sudden, because we're a Christian, we should be immune to that. We shouldn't have any issues with that still. And I want to point you to a few passages that help us to understand that there are still emotional struggles that we will be going through. The first one is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you." So He knows we're going to be anxious. He knows we're going to have anxieties. Notice it doesn't say here, "Now, humble yourself before God's mighty hand and bottle up all of that emotion that you have and all those struggles and those anxieties and try and figure that out on your own." That's not what we see here. So sometimes we may come in, and obviously right now we're in a place where, you know, there aren't as many handshakes and embraces going on. But even thinking back to the time before all of this, when we were able to shake hands, we were able to embrace each other, how many times was that done and you returned a handshake and said, "I'm doing great, thanks for asking," and in all reality, maybe you weren't doing great. Maybe I wasn't doing great when I shook that hand. But I feel like that's what I'm supposed to say, because we're supposed to have everything all together all the time. That's what we would think. Another verse in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." So there will be a time of mourning. There will be a time of sadness. And it's okay if that is your time. This is not something that we have to hide and has to be done in secret. I know men, we have to keep up a certain appearance or whatever, but it is okay if you cry from time to time. Ecclesiastes, very, very popular passage of Scripture that talks about a time for everything. And I would point you to verse 4, where it says, "There is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." And one of the problems I know that I have had is I always feel like I have to laugh. We see, we read, there's a time to weep and a time to mourn, but I feel like I have to always be laughing, at least here. And maybe when I'm home, I could do the weeping and the crying and the mourning. But here, I want to let us know that we don't always have to be dancing. When you're here and you come into the building, if you need someone for support, if you need to lean on someone, you do not have to come in here and put on a face for us. And I know that in many congregations, there's a culture, that feeling that you have to have it all together whenever you come into this building. But this should be the place that we can come and be real with one another. When we do have problems, when we do have struggles that need addressing or that you need help with, this should be the place that we're able to do that. Psalm 34 in verse 17 says, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Do we ever cry out to God? Is that something that we think is in our repertoire? Is that in our arsenal? Do we ever cry out and confess the problems that we have, the struggles that we have to God? Do we confess them to one another like we're instructed? Or do we hide? Do we put on that smiling face and look like we're laughing and dancing while internalizing sorrow and struggles that could lead to depression? In 2 Corinthians, in the 12th chapter, we see where Paul is talking about his weaknesses. He's talking about how he has a weakness, but through that weakness, Christ is magnified or glorified. Sometimes our struggle is, what if this makes me look weak? I have to look strong in front of at least my family. You know, I'm the man of the house, or I'm the woman who's the breadwinner primarily. Whatever your role is, you might think, I've got to look a certain way, act a certain way. They can't see my weakness. They can't see my struggles. But if we read here and we act like Paul acted, and we realized how much strength that we can get from God, if we recognize and acknowledge our weaknesses and lean on Him for our strengths. In verse 9 of chapter 12, it says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" We are not expected to have to put that smiling face on all the time. If we are weak and we try to fix it on our own, chances are that typically ends up in failure. But if we are weak and we recognize that and we lean on God and Christ for our strength, that is where we can have success. The final thing I want to talk about is hiding our faults. This may be your past. It could be past faults, flaws, or failures that still creep up. They still are in your mind and they present themselves to you and make you feel like you're not worthy, make you feel like you're not valuable, or this is still who you're remembered as. This is still tagged on. This is what people know you as. Again, that idea, that mentality that makes us think that we have to be perfect when we come in here is one of the leading causes here. We feel guilt. I don't know if any of you have been in this position, but I've come in before when dealing with certain struggles in my life, and I see all these perfect people. That's what it appears like to me, and I feel like I'm nothing. Like, I'm not even worthy to be around these people. What did I do? How did I mess up that these people seem like they have it all together? I want to give you a few biblical examples this morning, and like I mentioned earlier, sometimes we put individuals in the Bible up on a pedestal where we think that they were just so much holier than we are and they had some superpower, some way to stay immune to sin. But Moses was a murderer. Peter denied Christ. Paul persecuted the church. Abraham took matters into his own hands regarding the promise that God gave to him of a son. And David was an adulterer. And those are some pretty pretty rough pass. Bring those in nowadays, what could that do to someone in their mind as they would try to live? Would that keep creeping in? But these people aren't known specifically or remembered primarily for these acts. With God, they were given purpose and they were redeemed. Moses was a great leader, maybe considered one of the greatest of all time. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and his faith grew to heights that he didn't think possible. Paul was one of the greatest missionaries ever. Abraham was recognized in Hebrews for his great faith and how he relied on God for his son and being led to the promised land. David was a man after God's own heart and considered the greatest king of all time. These people who had pasts that might ruin you, that might come back to haunt you, ended up being great advocates for Christ. And every one of these people show us the same thing. Regardless of their own talents or strengths or abilities, we are weak, we are vulnerable, and dependent on Christ and His mercy to carry us through this life. We know what happens when we're left to our own accords. We know, have you seen many different televangelists, some popular, some not so much, with big scandals, and they came out, and everyone's just so shocked because Christians are perfect, right? And that's simply not the case. When we think of individuals of great faith, we think of the Homers, we think of the Normas, we think of the Hollands, we think of the Lee Smiths and the Shirley Helmers, and the list could go on and fill in. Those people are known for being faithful to God and followers of God. They are not known for being perfect. And one thing that I think that we need to show our teens, our children, we need to show new believers, is that you don't become a Christian and become completely perfect, completely immune to sin. We know that Christ was the only one that was perfect, and because of His sacrifice, we even stand a chance against the enemy's attacks. But when we think of those individuals in the church, lean on them. Look to their faith. Look to their examples. Like Paul said to those who would follow him, imitate me because I'm following Christ. Not because Paul's perfect, but it's because what I'm doing and who I'm following. Imitate me in that way. We know that the past is the past. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It is no longer I'm known. Moses was no longer known as being a murderer. David wasn't known as being an adulterer. He was following God. He was redeemed. We know that He gives us the message of reconciliation. When we become a new creation through baptism into Christ, we put away the old man, the old self. We are not known by that anymore. But that's one of the things that the enemy would love for us to focus on your past. Remember how sinful you were? You think God's really going to let you let go of that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's something we can focus on. We need to be meditating on. It's not, this is the life I lived. It's, this is the life I'm living now, and who am I living for? We read on further about the message of reconciliation. And sometimes we forget about that, how we've been reconciled. That through that, and reading on in Psalm chapter 103 in verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. How often do we hold those transgressions closer and tighter than He does? And He's trying to tell us, don't you know that I've forgiven that? I'm done with that. I've removed that. I know those sins no more, as we read in Hebrews. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. If He remembers them no more, we would do good to forget them in our life for Christ. We've given up the old, and we are now new. So whatever it may be, if something today hit on something that you need to forget. You need to quit hiding. You need to be real with God, real with those around you. Maybe it's a struggle that you're having. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's through all of this virus mess that you're just unsure of what to do, and you're dealing with depression or anxiety even. Those emotions that you deal with, I would leave you with this last verse, whichever side you're on. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You may be in a position right now where you are strong and faithful in Christ. You don't have a struggle that you know of. Things are going well. You're blessed. You're thankful to God for that, and you're leaning on Him, and through Him you are strong. And if that's you, you may not have a burden at this moment. What I have for you is, I would say, whose burden are you bearing? And are you looking for someone else's burden to carry? Now, this does not put all the onus on you. We have to confess our own sins as well and let people in on that. But if you are one who is burdened right now, even so much so that you can't even seem to catch your breath, and you may be struggling right now day to day with difficulties and struggles emotionally, whatever you're going through, for you, I would say, cry out to God. Learn how to do that. Learn how to open up to your brothers and sisters in Christ, to us here. Open up to God and confess those sins, and He will give you the mercy. You will be reconciled to Him. We weren't made to hide our pain, our sins, our struggles from others, and we definitely can't hide them from God. But we must be willing to admit them and face them and confess them to Him and to others to be able to get that help and that strength that we need. So this morning I would ask, who are you hiding from? What are you hiding behind? Or what are you hiding? If there's something that we can do, if we can pray for you, if you need help during this time, if you need to put on Christ in baptism, whatever it is that you need, please come to us while we stand and sing.
Restore my spirit, Lord, I need restore. My heart is weary, please help me, dear Lord. I stand in need of more strength from your word. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, to restore my soul. Revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. Stir my desire to work in your fold.